This week on the Media Corps Minute podcast, I sit down with Scott and Jen Elder, the owners of Midwest Life Shots and Space Box Photography. You're in for a treat this week. This was so much fun. I had a blast, and there was a ton of good points just for business and growth and everything. Stay tuned. You're going to enjoy this one. Scott, Jen, how are you guys doing today?
Great, man.
Good.
Doing well.
I'm glad that we got you in. I know this is something I've wanted to do for a while, have you guys on. And I was actually going to say it was a fun story. Scott and Jen did my wife and I's photos for our wedding and engagement, but we just did Rachel's. And I haven't seen them. Are they done?
Yeah, I mean, we just released them to her not too long ago. There's plenty of embarrassing photos of you.
I'm excited to see those photos. Yes. Oh. Yeah. No, but the video, I don't know if you saw that. I think we just finished that. We were excited about it.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet. Is it on? Did she post it?
I'd probably not.
Okay.
Yeah, that was
fun. Yeah, I'd love to see that.
So we were watching that. I'm like, well, I'm excited to see the photos. You sent me that one. I was like, oh, yeah. I'd love just seeing the photos of, like, day of.
Oh, yeah, man. Mm-hmm.
The behind the scenes is great because it's all the stuff that you didn't
love
realize
the behind
was
the
going
scenes.
On.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm a huge fan of finding every embarrassing photo of you guys that I can.
Yeah. And then it ends up as my phone background.
Yeah. Yep.
Always like my screenshot, contact. Like, hey, this is your new contact.
Absolutely.
Like,
horrible. Like, always the worst photos.
Yeah. That's my favorite.
Well, as we kind of get into things, I just wanted to ask, because I know you got a couple businesses. I want to just so the listeners kind of know, what are those companies and just like a brief overview of what you guys do for those.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
Yeah, why don't you take that for now?
Okay. So we have our main company is called Three Little Birds, and it's kind of our parent company. And we have a few different businesses underneath it. And the main two are Midwest Life Shots Photography, which is portraits, weddings, newborns, and all of that. And our other one is Space Box Photography, which is more real estate and commercial photography. And we got started with Space Box it's been about 20 years ago.
Wow.
When we first started with it. And at that point, it was technology for realtors, which was it's a terrible name. Way too many words
well,
and syllables.
I mean, to go back, like it's my terrible. Dad started, he was a realtor when we moved to Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And then when he was in real estate, he realized that there was a big need for the realtors to have help with technology because obviously a lot of things, this was like in 2000. And so this was a year that like a lot of things were changing all at once. The internet was coming out and all that sort of stuff. So he just wanted to help them with technology. So that was his company, Technology for Realtors, just helping other realtors figure out pictures and how to get those on the website and all that sort of stuff. So then it kind of warped into doing photography for them.
Well, at the time, the technology side of it was the only company in existence for us. And her dad ran it. I moved up to Minnesota from Central Illinois to work there because my wife was super cute. And I was like, I don't care. I want to be close to her. So, so I moved up here and kind of joined him and the technology for realtors company. We did everything from, at that time, people had no idea how to get a computer. We would literally like build computers for them, like even just on websites where they couldn't understand how to do it. It was really like kind of the dawn of the internet really being something that was accessible to create technology. And so we got started doing that, and that evolved into photography of different residential listings for realtors in the area. And then we started realizing that we started learning a lot of Photoshop techniques.
Well, I will say, like, to get started into the virtual tours.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So the reason why that started was because way back when, and if realtors are listening, they'll remember this, is when we had Alteryx, which was more like a like, it wasn't even an app because we didn't have apps at that time. You know, there were no apps, and there were, it was like a program. And this is where the MLS was, and you had to go in and upload your photos, but you were only allowed 7 photos per house. So we were the like main ones to do virtual tours in the area for the longest time, because that way we could show more of the house.
Right.
So people could click on that link and then see more of the house that way. So that was kind of our way to get around that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we expanded on it. We kept doing the virtual tours, kept doing the photography. We went to conferences, the nerdiest conferences
you could ever imagine.
Literally to Photoshop World in Las Vegas, where for 4 days we walked around with a bunch of other nerds and learned how to like use Photoshop.
Yep.
And then that, and so that was our only business for a large chunk of time. Mm-hmm. And then we decided in about, it would have been about 2005, 2006, we had our niece and nephew over, and we stole your father's camera. He had a better camera than the virtual tour
Canon
camera.
Rebel.
Terrible camera. I mean, look at it now, you're like,
yeah, it's a
terrible
camera.
It's
a good starter camera.
But it's a starter camera, and we took it, and we took some photos of our niece and nephew, and a couple of them really stood out to us. Like, if we learned more about this, I think we could maybe do this, and like take pictures of people.
Yep.
And so we started learning. We went into intense education on portrait photography.
Well, we quickly realized that we knew a lot more about Photoshop and the technology part of it than most other photographers.
Mm-hmm. At that time.
At that time.
Yeah.
So we were like, this is going to be easy for us to just kind of develop our skill with the camera.
That's the pun you did there. I like that.
Yeah.
What did I do?
Develop.
Obviously, I didn't do it on purpose. So, yes. No, so we just decided to learn more about the camera and really like research that and learn that from different books and different. We also like talked to a lot of other photographers in the area and got to know them and everything. So that kind of.
And then in 2000 would have been what year did we officially?
Our first like technical wedding with Midwest Life Shots. I was pregnant with Emily. So 2008, summer of 2008.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't even know if we were really a company at that point.
But that's what I think so. Cause then we started like, that was when we really started to like develop that name. And
that's true. It was right about 2008. Mm-hmm. So we're coming up on, we're in our 16th year of doing weddings and families and newborns and all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. And the two companies now coexist. We have other people that work for us within each company that take on other weddings and real estate photography. And
I was going to say, how big are the teams for these?
So we have three. We actually just developed a fourth team for the portrait side.
For Midwest Life Shots,
so we could do up to 4 weddings a weekend.
Wow.
And with real estate, when we have 5 different people right now that could be filming a house.
Which is what we need. I think that's something unique that we offer for the real estate photography is just the turnaround time. It's just like a realtor will call us and just say, oh, we need this filmed tomorrow or the next day. We get it done. We give it back to them like by the end of the next business day. And so they have their photos and they're ready, you know, and we can only do that, honestly, by having so many of us.
Having so many people.
Right.
That's what helps.
But it's terrifying. That MO for a business is terrifying because it's something that with portrait photography, so this is where our two companies mesh and create a different business because we can look at our calendar for September of this year and we know portrait-wise we might have 7 weddings booked. Mm-hmm. We got it down. If we look in the same week, we have 0 things booked for the real estate side because those things book a day out, 2 days out, 3 days out.
Yeah, they get a listing and it's like, hey,
they got to go
back. Yeah, it's not something that's booked out ahead of time.
It's a very interesting thing to balance. It's why
I was going to say
inside out anxiety shirt, man.
To anxiety.
It may as well be called real estate. It's a wonderful business and we love doing it.
Oh yeah.
But but from the business side,
you tell me not to do real estate?
I did. I think what I said was I like it, but I don't know that it'll be like sustainable. I remember thinking like realtors want things so quickly.
Yeah.
And you are more of a perfectionist with your videos, which is great, which is why you guys are as successful as you are. And I'm just like, they're not going to wait. They're not going to sit there and go like, no, nah, it's 2 or 3 weeks.
No.
It's fine. Their realtors are convinced that if you photograph it on Tuesday, get it to them on Wednesday, it will sell on Thursday. Mm-hmm. And if they don't have the images the next day, it's not going to work out. Yeah. Yeah. It's a great business. We love both businesses, but that's kind of how they...
Mm-hmm. I remember you and I had coffee super early on.
Yeah.
When I was just getting started.
Yeah.
And you told me like, yeah, a lot of people won't take my meeting and have a coffee. And I'm like, why? Why wouldn't they?
I know.
You've been doing this. You have experience in it.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you're smart.
Trying to learn as much as I can.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Right. No, I have so much respect for you, Josh. I've followed your company from, I joke all the time about how you know that. I think I already said it 5 minutes into getting here. I'm like, the basement. Those like old videos of you getting started in your business. But the fact that you've always handled your business with integrity, with respect to others in similar industries and even competing industries, mm-hmm. just to try to do the right thing out there, mm-hmm. instead of just like try to beat someone else mm-hmm. to the punch.
Nope.
And yeah, I still think about that. I love that meeting. I loved connecting with you early on. It's mm-hmm. just such a fun time. And, mm-hmm. and it's something that I'm always blown away why businesses will not meet up with other people. We can only improve by doing that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You always have to be learning, and that's
absolutely.
And
we're thankful for the people that have taken us under their wing right at the beginning. I mean, Fagans, like they would meet with us, and you know, there's that's amazing, because it's like you have to kind of realize that like there's enough for everybody to succeed.
There's
here.
So much work,
you know.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
So we just have so much respect for people like that, and are appreciative of that too. So.
I like, too, that you've been just calling, like, the stages, too, of business. You're like, you're going to go to the cities, too. And it's like, now we're doing a bunch in the cities. And, like, we'll probably have a location in the cities.
Like a prophet. Yeah. You're like a prophet.
I'm a technology prophet. Yeah. I just see such a...
A fire marler coach. Just
Yeah. What does Scott say, though? I mean, that's the question.
The thing that I think is interesting, and you've been in business long enough, too, that I know that when you meet with other people... that run a business, you can tell who has their heart in it and who is wanting to do things the right way. When you do that, when you see someone that has that, you know they're going to grow. You know they have a good trajectory. So you can just look at them and you can go, well, yeah, you're doing great in Rochester, mm-hmm. but I just know you're going to do better. Mm-hmm. Nothing against Rochester, but I know there's more work out there, and you will grow, and you'll get bigger and bigger, and eventually. And you guys are always traveling. It feels like every day I'm watching a video of MediaCorp packing up their truck to go somewhere new, mm-hmm. and it's wonderful to see. It's something you can call early when you see a business that you know is just doing things the right way.
One thing too, I wanted to ask too, is like, what for you guys? I mean, do you do much traveling between kind of the companies and? You know, their destination weddings, or what does that look like for location-wise?
We don't do a lot of destination weddings every now and then.
Like we've gone to Dominican Republic and...
Yeah, we've done a few.
You know, like Chicago and things like that, but we don't
more regional.
Yeah, we are more regional.
Yeah, we're more regional, and we kind of like it that way, I think, for us, our life stage, too. Mm-hmm. It's like when... We have 3 children, so for us mm-hmm. to like get up and leave and go to a wedding in Jamaica and be gone for like 4 days is pretty difficult when you have 3 kids and a dog you gotta take care of, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we're fortunate enough to have my parents in town too, so they've helped a lot, especially when they were younger, but we had enough when they were younger that we would be gone full Saturdays, you know, just mm-hmm. doing a wedding. I mean, now luckily we have our team that does a lot of them, so we're able to spend time with our kids, which is great. But, you know, on top of that, just the traveling and stuff, we weren't willing to do to be
And we kind of
them.
Spread it across the other teams too. Mm-hmm. So if we have weddings mm-hmm. so for the travel, we might say, well, we have a team that's based in Des Moines, Iowa, so they're going to do the bulk of the Iowa.
And
the,
oh, like Omaha, like
uh-huh,
we'll go
they'll
there
go to, and, right, they'll yep. cover Nebraska and things like that. But then when we have most of our teams are here in the Rochester area. And so three of the four are here in Rochester. So for those three, we might say, well, these people are going to the cities this weekend, and then these people will go to Duluth the next weekend. And so we kind of spread it.
Spread it around. I like that. What's both your backgrounds before you two met?
Well, background before we met, what is my background? Because my background is when we met, because met when I was in high school still. So I feel like I,
I didn't know you met that early on.
Yeah.
Was almost done with high school.
Well, I guess my background would be, I grew up in the on the East Coast, and then Mayo Clinic moved our family out to Minnesota in 91, so I was like 10. And so then I pretty much, I pretty much grew up in Rochester, so this is kind of my hometown. So, and then we bought the house from my parents like 6 years ago, so we live in the same house that I grew up in pretty much, but then... Yeah, when I was in high school, you might remember, maybe not because you're young, America Online, AOL.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's how we met, because I was searching the member directory just to chat with somebody. I wasn't even looking for a guy or anything, really. And I searched for Austin Powers, because I really liked that movie at the time. So I searched for that. And of course, because he's a huge movie buff, his member directory came up and it said, or his profile came up.
I don't know what that said.
And it had some quote from Austin Powers.
I was like, at that point, I was like early in college. And I'm sure that I had a very inappropriate quote.
Probably. I mean, Austin Powers isn't the most appropriate movie. So
I'm sure that
I did.
That somehow you were like, that's my guy.
Oh, yeah. So I instant messaged him, because that's what it was, AOL Instant Messenger. And he was my buddy. So, and then honestly, it was a slow, it was kind of just like a friendship for a long time. And it was really slow. We didn't even, we talked on online and on the phone for like 2 years before we even met in person. So, but this is like, you know, ancient before. It's this is not normal to meet somebody online back in this time of period, because nowadays it's like that's how people meet all the time, is through apps and stuff. At this time, it was like unheard of.
No, they, so, when you told your parents that that's how you met me.
I didn't tell them.
Well, you didn't. And then when you did tell them,
you know, what do they think?
Your mom was like, really, she scolded you like big time.
Because they think you're like a serial killer, basically. So,
So
you're gonna get taken.
Right, exactly. It's like, how do you know who he is?
And,
and now it's like normal. Now that's very so normal. Crazy to me.
I'd say 9 out of 10 couples that we meet with for weddings met online.
Like Bumble.
That's very, very popular.
Yep. All the time.
Yep. I don't know if he was actually asking for our story.
Well, like,
or if he was just asking for our
background.
But I like because that's why.
But like he said before you met, so then I was like, well, it was kind of that. And then I went to college. And I have a communications degree. Well, I went to a private college, so I have a, technically a double major in communications and Bible.
Nice.
And so, yeah, but I really, I mean, what am I doing?
When you were when you were going to college, though, what was, like, the dream? What were you going to go do job-wise?
I at first, I think I started off in elementary education, so I wanted to be a teacher.
Okay.
And then it switched when I went to a Sunshine Music Festival to wanting to be a youth pastor for some reason. I think almost all Christians kind of go through that phase. And that that changed. And then I don't know. I just kind of wanted, I think I wanted to do something more general. Maybe working for my dad. You know, I knew that because I had worked for my dad before I went to college. I knew that was always like a possibility. So I think just keeping that open. But I also wanted to have a degree just in case I went into something else. But I really didn't know. Photography, as far as doing the portraits, was never really something I thought of. But I did take a photography class in college, though.
Took one class.
Like in the dark room and stuff like that. But
there you go.
But that wasn't really in my like plan for the future. So I don't know.
I did yearbook in high school. That was probably the most photography I ever studied. I am a college dropout. I had way too much fun in college. It's kind of nice, actually, for us to parent that way. For me to be able to say, like, well, your mom went through with it. She followed through. Your dad was a total failure in college. But it's an interesting it's interesting looking back at it that I went for mostly for technology. So at the time I was in information technology, so just like general computer studies and things like that was what I went to school for. And I never took anything business related. I never took anything photography related.
And you were only like a few credits from actually graduating.
Yeah, that's
right?
How bad I am.
You can still go back and just finish.
Yeah, but
I could, but you know what?
Information technology. It's, you can't. It's, go, it's so shit.
Nothing transfers.
You probably have to go to whole four years again.
Yeah, I'm like, can I start up again? Because I know Excel 2003.
Yeah.
And they're like, no.
So, not even that.
No, not even that. just terrible. But I think that's something that speaks a little to, you know, how photography for us, like, it's a job where your creative itch is really scratched. And if you can, if you are a people person, if you can relate to people and you are truly joyful being around people and having a good time with people, you can learn everything else that is necessary to do the job. I credit your father a lot in the success of our business because he has his MBA, so he walked us through a lot of the infancy of our company and ultimately believed in us enough to invest in us to let us grow to where we were so that we could buy the company from him at one point and kind of take it over. But no real training. It is interesting. Like, not real. Just how about you? I'm curious. I don't want to spin the camera around here.
The, like, schooling wise?
Yeah.
I dropped out too. I went for personal training and I'm like it was one semester and I'm like, I'm not doing this. Like, and I literally just stopped going to classes and, you know, I think you know, they just failed you out or whatever, and because, you know, you just didn't attend. And, now that school hires us for video work, so, you know.
That is outstanding.
Success story.
Wow. That is outstanding. You should say, like, how about instead of the invoice, I just get an honorary degree.
Right, right. Just do this.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
But no, I dropped out and I started working different places, and it was kind of the same thing. You try a bunch of stuff. And
yeah.
We just had a video guy come in. A kid in Owatonna, just interested in what we're doing. And I was telling him, I'm like, I kept, you know, working places, and you know, I'd work my way up, hit a ceiling. It's like, all right, next one, like, work your way up, hit the ceiling.
Right.
There's just no next position or next thing that you could do or take on.
Right.
And that was it. And it's like, well, when you're like super hungry to just progress, you can't just settle with that.
Right.
So it was that pattern, you know, it was three businesses, and the last one I was at for 4 years, moved my way up. It was a great company. It was fun. But they're like, yep, it's the GM and the owners, and they're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And you can make a great living if you spend the next, you know, 30 whatever years here. But it's like, you know, I'm 23 at the time or something like that. It's like, no way, you know?
Yeah.
So that's when, you know, and I think that was kind of when, like, the internet was big on owning your own company.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just, you gotta, you know, entrepreneurs and
own
your own business. And, you know, it's they promise, you know, money and freedom and you do whatever you want and nice houses and cars. And, and you know, every kid's excited to do that. So you jump into it. You know, I did too. That was an attractive message. I'm like, that's fine. Why not?
Yeah.
And, you know, hit the pavement running, just didn't know anybody in town whatsoever. And you start growing and building it up, and you figure out, well, that's not what this is all about at all.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not all this, you know, money and free time that you can do whatever you want. There's a grind. It's a huge grind. And, you know, that's why you see so much turnover. They come and they go. New one, not what I thought it was going to be. And he was asking me what, you know, so was your passion video? I was like, well, I liked video. I mean, I think it's really cool, but it was just something I was good at. It was something I knew.
Right.
But I love people. I'm like, that's what really helped. And what happened was I fell in love with business, you know, and like now that's what I'm addicted to, is just like, how companies operate, mm-hmm. how they grow and they scale and they do different things. And so it's, yes, video is our tool, you know, at MediaCorp and what we do, but like I love like progression in business and like, that's so much fun now.
Absolutely.
And
I feel that's my core.
Yeah, I feel like that's very similar to our story as well. Like you love the business aspect.
Love it.
Mm-hmm. And but people is what is the where the passion is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like
and
I even say that about what's the difference, you know, between the real estate and the portrait side. It's like the real estate is awesome because it's just so it's kind of mindless. Mm-hmm. You know, you go in, you get to look at these awesome houses.
It, a lot of cool
not
homes.
All of them are awesome, but like,
that's true.
But
running both,
right? But still, it's interesting nonetheless.
Well, but you get to try to make them good.
Yeah, exactly, and we
challenge.
Do, and that's great too. But it's it's kind of it's an easy job, but it's fun. But there's not a lot of heart behind it. You know what I mean? But that's where the portrait side of it is. Like, there's a lot of heart there. There's a lot of being able to see a newborn baby, being able to see the family interact, being at the father-daughter dance, you know, for the wedding, and or even just dealing with other, you know, somebody's dog is about to die, and you're taking pictures of their family when their dog is about to die, and it's like I can't even tell you how special it is to be able to capture those moments. You know, so I feel like it's the passion and the of the people that bring us back to this type of job. But for you, like the business part of it, you just love so much. And we actually tell people that if they want to get started in photography, oh, like my daughter's really interested in photography and she's about to go to school, you know, what do you recommend? And we honestly say, go for business, because a lot of photographers out there are in it because they love the creative side so much, which is so great, but they don't know how to run a business.
Right.
It's so another, I wouldn't be in this job if it was, I don't know what I'm doing as far as business goes. You know, he's the one that knows that part of it.
Right.
So it's so smart to get that background and understand how the business works to combine that with your creativity. Then you can, I think, be the most successful. So.
Well, it's it's very interesting when you really start looking at the percentage of time that you spend behind the camera. Mm-hmm. With it being a photography, photography is the job, and you spend 5 to 10%.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Of the time behind the camera. And I think at the beginning, when you first want to pursue it as a career, you think it's the other way around.
Right.
You're like, I'm just going to wake up, go photograph people. At the end, maybe I'll check some emails.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, that's it. Mm-hmm. And Jen is, in our company, we've progressed a lot and we've gotten to a point where we've started to say like, well, you know, let's find our lanes and like stay in them.
Mm-hmm.
We can go faster in them if we do that.
Oh, yeah.
And so we go like, well, is it more beneficial for me to photograph a family or to work on a marketing plan? Well, the marketing plan is better for me and the family is better for Jen. So there's a lot of, just splitting up the roles within the company, finding where everybody succeeds and sending them down that path. And it's not but it is something, when people come to us and say like, well, how do we do it? How do we get started? We're like, we can teach you everything you need to know about a camera. We can show you why a photo works.
Yep.
We can show you all of that. But if you don't enjoy hanging out with people, if you don't get choked up, man, we've done we've done like 500 weddings. Man, I still get choked up seeing like a first look with somebody. I still get choked up. Father-daughter dance gets me every single time. Don't care. Mm-hmm. I've heard Butterfly Kisses probably 300 times.
It's been a while since that song's let's face it.
The first 300 weddings.
Well, I know.
I've heard it 300 times. I mean, it's been a lot, right?
Josh is like, I don't even know that song.
Or My Wish. I've heard those songs. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I can hear them over and over. I can hear them 1,000 more times. I'm somehow singing along every single time.
Yeah.
Because my heart is in that. Mm-hmm. My heart is in seeing being there. We really, I mean, I tell clients, like, we are honored to be at your wedding. Mm-hmm. And it's not a sales pitch. It's like, we really are. Like, this is your first chapter of your lives together. Mm-hmm. That's it. And you're going like, hey, you break that spine, you open up that book, we're capturing it. Mm-hmm. We're the ones that are recording it. It truly is an honor. It's an amazing thing.
It's amazing. Mm-hmm.
And if you get that and you enjoy that, and then you learn how to manage that, you're good to go.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You don't have to know anything about a camera. You handed me a Sony camera right now. I have no idea how to use it. But I guarantee I could learn it.
Yeah.
I guarantee I could learn how to use it. But I can't learn how to appreciate the people. I just
Right.
You either do or you don't. You're a people person or you're not.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it is a blend of trying to figure out how to. That's great, but what does a P&L statement look like for you this quarter? Mm-hmm. You know, Jen doesn't know.
I don't even know what P&L means.
She doesn't
profits
know.
Profits and
losses. Good for you, honey. Proud of you.
Oh, yay. Yeah. Barely got that one.
Good guess. Mm-hmm. Good guess, yeah.
No, I mean, I totally agree. I mean, it's when you look at all these young kids that want to get into this industry everywhere. Yeah. I mean, everywhere. Because it doesn't cost that much to buy a decent camera, you know, and a lens mm-hmm. and a flash and something like that. Or a light, you know, in our case. And then it's like, you know, they hit the street and it's like, I'll just do stuff for free.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
And
it's
I'll
okay
just,
at
you know.
The beginning to build your portfolio.
We all start
and,
there.
You know, but.
But then it's like, well, now I have to start charging because I can't, you know, and then I have to get work and now I'm competing with all these other people mm-hmm. that are charging. And, you know, you even can do that for a while, bootstrap it, but then you get a threshold where you're competing with, like, now these companies have been doing it forever that dominate these areas. And it's like, now how do I stack up against that without just being the cheapest? And then
and
if you're the only one doing it, then you have to do everything.
Yeah. Right.
Then you're getting burned out.
And most of them, most of them as photographers have another job. This is what they do on the side as like an extra thing. And or they have a husband already that's supporting them or something.
Absolutely.
And, you know, so it's not even necessarily that they're relying on it to make a living.
Yep.
But they totally get burnt out because of that, because they have kids and a job and they have to. I mean, the lucky part for us is that we actually had the business before we had kids.
Right.
So we kind of learned how to, like, how do we manage this with kids as we were growing? You know, it wasn't like we grew.
The family grew with the business.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of a nice way to do that, you know, not versus like just, I guess, having kids before and then starting the business. And it was
I can't imagine how people do that, honestly. I'm like, wow, that's
try to
impressive.
Find time for that and everything.
But I also think when you talk about, like, the pricing thing, you know, especially for a creative field, if it's ours or yours or whatever, people get in and they charge very little.
Yeah.
But most of the time, when you take the time and meet with people who are willing to meet with you that are in the industry, you learn those expenses. You understand how you can't start there. If you do start there, you're setting yourself up for failure.
Yep.
You know, either you're going to attract a bunch of cheap clients that aren't willing to invest in it, and then they're going to leave you once you realize to increase your rate, and or you're offending the people who would work with you later down the road. You go like, well, if you want a referral from me, I would love to send a referral to someone that I know and care about that is reputable in the industry. And we have people that we know and care about. But I've had people that are brand new that charge a third of what we charge for a wedding and say, like, hey, if you have any extra leads. And I'm like, why would I understand why it costs, you know, $3,000, $4,000, or $5,000 to do a wedding. You're bidding that out at $1,500.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to send a client your way because you don't understand that business side of it, you know? Whereas, like, take the time, like we did, like you did, like, get to know others in your field.
Yeah.
And it'll help you. Just leaps and bounds helps you.
Video was weird coming into Rochester. Like, there's probably three or four main companies that did it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I tried to meet with a couple of them. A couple of them took my meetings. Probably three of them. And, you know, one kind of even, like, checked me almost, like, you know, like, good luck kind of thing.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, William, what do you mean? He's like, well, people in Rochester don't pay for this stuff, like companies. Mm-hmm. They don't see the value in it. They won't invest in it. And
for commercial video?
Yeah, for commercial video, yeah.
Wow.
So, and these were like not the freelancers. These were the guys that have been doing it for a while.
Right.
And, you know, I'm like, okay, you know. But, boy, did we ever figure that out.
Right.
Like, everyone was, nope, that's too much. We're used to paying because everyone's used to paying the news station.
Right, right.
Okay. Every news station here does $500 to free.
Wow.
Yeah. Because if you're paying us $6,000 a month for, you know, a locked in period, we'll throw on a video, you know.
Sure.
Like, and then the company's like, oh, it's a free video, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's now MediaCorp versus free, you know.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's like, well, we all know that this looks like a free one, but it's still free, though.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, in their minds.
Oh, yeah. People don't necessarily care too much.
So we're just battling that mentality. Mm-hmm. And so, it did. It slowly progressed. And I feel like we've been, like, dragging the value up, you know, as we go. And, you know, now we're to a spot where it's, like, it's just so clear of, like, what you're getting now when you're working with us and alternatives.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they could see that. And we didn't know until we educate them, you know, other than going, hey, this looks better, this doesn't.
Right.
Well, now it's, like, we have experience of working with 600 companies, and it's like, I know exactly what you should do and why and how to get the results you're looking for. Doesn't matter if it's in marketing, recruiting, sales, training, like, we've done it.
Right.
They're just going to make you a pretty video. We're going to make something effective that works for
you. Nice to say pretty.
You know, and it's like,
those videos aren't pretty. I see those videos. I don't care what channel it is. No. That's not pretty.
Oh, no, not those guys.
No.
Those aren't pretty. No.
Not pretty. Yeah. There's a noticeable difference when you see it's not. Yeah, no, you pay for someone that knows what they're doing, creating a professional video. I mean, we worked with you guys. We had a video created for, like, what it's like to work with us on a wedding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we've seen that. I've had the pitch from the news stations that have said, like, well, we'll give you the video. Yeah. I've had that pitch.
Yeah.
And then I ask for examples, and I see the examples, and I'm like, no way in hell am I doing that. That looks terrible. Yeah. That looks terrible. I want to look like, you just sent out two cameramen, you know, that one of them's brand new, hasn't done anything, and the other one's just, like, walking around, and he's going, like, walk through the door and shake hands with that guy. And I'm like, oh, now walk out the door and shake hands with the girl. That's the...
Mm-hmm. I mean, I always just get confused because you're investing significant amount of money into pushing this product in front of people, like... Their whole strategy with it is like, we're gonna show, you know, your audience. And it's like, why are you paying attention to what you're showing your audience that you're paying all this money for?
Mm-hmm. Right.
How does that part not matter to you?
I know.
It's just
the quality of it.
They just see that and they come flocking.
Yeah.
Like, no, that doesn't work like that.
That's very true.
I mean, we have similar discussions. We had our company get together last night and we were talking about it. And we were talking about how, like, even with wedding photography and portrait photography, that there's a lot of, I'll say, stylish photographers that are doing a trendy edit,
filter,
if you will.
Yeah.
Throwing a filter on and whatever. And one of our employees said, basically brought up, like, well, this, a little concern, you know, about someone else that was doing this. And I was like, to me... That's an easy thing to sell against because I look at it and I go, I care what you planned for your wedding. If you spent hours designing the bridesmaid dresses, picking the shade of white of your dress. Like,
it's not if they did. They did.
They did do it.
They did spend that.
They spend all that time. At the end of all that, I'm the one you're paying to document it. Mm. I'm not going to, at the end, go like, well, it's all brown.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go like, I want to make it look the way you chose to have it look.
Mm.
I mean, you're actually a really good example. If you think about your wedding.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't wear a black suit jacket. Imagine if I had taken your jacket and thrown a filter over it.
Yeah.
It would have been a whole different color.
It would have been a completely different color. No one would have even known what it was except you and your wife.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what a disservice.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's a similar thing where you say like, well, this is the end product, but instead you're going like, I just don't want to pay that much.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see the value of the end product.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to go, I got this much to spend.
Yeah.
Go with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a challenge we both face for sure.
It's wild.
Yeah. I don't understand.
And then you go to the cities, it's a whole different game. They're used to paying more. That's weird, you know.
Yeah. An hour and a half away. Okay.
All right. That's true. Yeah. A friend told me when we got started in the doing weddings, she said, Rochester is a town of people with deep pockets and short arms.
That's true.
That's very
funny. Yeah. It was like I understand. We found a lot of wonderful long armed people.
That's true. I know you have to find those.
Yeah. But you kind of do. Yeah. No. Yeah.
I mean, for us, though, it's funny because, those are the ones where, their business is thriving. Like, they're doing well. I wonder why. They invest in things that matter.
The investment. Yes.
Not just us, but everything throughout the board, is all great.
Yep.
Why? What are they doing? They care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they care. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's exactly it. And it's an overall investment, said. It's little touch points within your business that your customers see that allow you, the customer to understand that you care throughout the entire process. It's that Jen and I have known you for quite a while, a few years we've known you, and we walk in today to join your podcast and your message board up there says, "Who let these two in?" It's little things like that. It's the idea that you have that message board and you take the time to make it an engaging thing. That was an investment. Mm-hmm. That thing's not a $5 piece of equipment,
Mm-hmm.
It's sitting in a podcast room where we're not just all gathered around one little microphone that we bought off Amazon for $15. It's knowing, and it all creates your brand and says that you're willing to spend the money.
And you're going
to
do it the right way.
You're going to do it the right way. We have photographers in our company that will say that we're waiting, quite literally just waiting for years for a certain lens to be released. Mm. And told us 2 years ago, one of them in particular said, "I want to move to this mirrorless system. I'm super excited to go to it. I understand the focusing is ridiculous. It's great. Can't wait to move, but they don't have a 35 millimeter. And I really want a 35 millimeter. And I remember talking to her and saying, the moment that comes up for pre-order, we got you.
Yeah.
We will get that lens. And you just do it. You invest in that. Mm-hmm. You get it and you put it in your photographer's hands, and now their work is improved.
Yeah.
And therefore the client experience is improved overall. And some people get that and some people don't.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
I remember the one last pricing thing. It was funny. It was the first bid that I lost because we were too low was a light bulb moment of this is interesting. It's not always low bid. It's, are you even qualified to work with us?
Okay.
Because you charge so little, we don't even take you seriously.
Yeah. Right.
And I was like, whoa, that sucks, first of all.
Yeah.
I lost it because I didn't charge enough, even though our quality was on par with what they needed. But then it was why aren't we going after established businesses that care about this kind of stuff, that go, we need to pay to do it right, not pay this little amount to just try it.
Right.
It's so small, it doesn't really, if it doesn't work, whatever, it was a couple grand, who cares?
Right.
At a certain threshold, it's now it has to work. It has to be legit.
Right.
Because we're investing a significant amount of money into it. And, but then, I look at the, stuff too, and I'm like, oh yeah, we charge, 10 to 15 grand for a project. And then you look at advertising. And they're blowing 150K a month.
Yeah, yeah.
Easy.
Yes. Right.
No problem. Not even big companies will spend that.
Right.
And it's like,
yeah.
You're giving me crap about this, but this is your advertising budget.
Hmm.
What is this doing for you? Mm-hmm. Well, we can't track it. We don't know.
Exactly.
No, nothing. Okay. Well, that's great.
That's interesting.
Right.
So.
Yeah, we've been there too in the same boat. And at the time, I remember when we did that years ago, Jen's father was still running the company, and he said, it still stuck with me. He said, what's a popular electronic right now? And I remember at the time, like, it was like Blu-ray players and stuff, you know? And he goes, okay. He said, so imagine you go to the store and you want to buy a Blu-ray player. That's what you want to buy. And you got three of them sitting on the shelf. And one of them is $15,000, right? And one of them is $15. And one of them is $500. Which one are you buying? And I'm like, well, probably the $500 one. Mm. And he goes, and why? And I said, because there's probably something wrong with the 15. And he goes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And he's like, so you really have to kind of think of that. Like, at some point, your perceived quality is based on what you're charging, not necessarily your end product. They're going like, well, the overall experience is going to be less.
Yeah.
Because it's cheap. Yeah. How can it be as good?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I remember the exact going through the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep. How do you think technology is changing the photography industry for you guys?
Well, it's changing a lot for us right now because of AI is our friend right now. We like AI.
Mm-hmm. AI is magical.
Because if you think about all the time that we've spent behind computers, oh my gosh, years ago, I would be like a late night editor. So I'd be editing these weddings hours and hours and hours, you know, super late till the birds started chirping. Mm-hmm. And that was my time to work, you know, still being home with my kids and everything. And now a lot of that work, just like culling and just basic editing, you know, because we don't add a lot of filters or anything, can be done by AI. And so we've drastically reduced the amount of time we're spending.
Yeah, the workflow has been changed dramatically.
Yeah.
I feel like AI in so many fields right now, any technology field or design field, even, people are terrified of it. Mm-hmm. And they think like, and for some good reason.
Yep.
You know, there are some professions I'm like, gosh, I don't know how many people are going into graphic design right now, but I hope it's less. Because I hope it's less because it was already a pretty crowded field of graphic designers that are available for work. Mm-hmm. And now that's only going to get worse.
Yep.
But I think the key is to find how AI can help you. It's not going anywhere.
Right.
Like, find out. It's only going to get better. Mm-hmm. Find out how it's going to help you. I met with a company three years ago at a trade show, and they were working on culling software, and we talked about what we could do. And for anybody who doesn't know, for the culling, if we take 2,500 pictures at a wedding,
we're not using all
2,500 because grandma blinked, or your tongue was sticking out in one, like there are photos you don't use.
Yeah.
So to take those 2,500 images and get it down to like 750, 800 that are like good, where no one blinked, it wasn't blurry, nothing, is a painstaking process for photographers. And you go through it and you say like, okay, I'm looking at every single image and I'm hitting keep or get rid of, you know, pick it or reject it. And when I met with this company, I was talking to the CEO of the company. He was just getting ready to launch it. And I said, tell me about it. And I told him the volume we did. And he was like, you would be a good candidate. We'd put you on our alpha list for it so you could give it a real go. And he had designed with a couple other computer guys had designed software that would analyze faces, could detect cheekbone structure, your smile, your teeth, could detect your ears and how much of them were showing based on like which angles you were turning, could get the smiles, the squints, the blinks, everything.
Dang.
And so what it would do is if I took 150 photos of one person just for a portrait and sent them up there, the software could very clearly say, here are the 60 where they are looking, they are either smiling or they have a good straight face. Their lips aren't turned at all. There's no blinks. There's nothing. And at the beginning, that took a while because it had to be something that was tweaked and you really had to work on it. But now I have the first round of culling done. I still go through it myself, but to finalize the cull. But I can get rid, if we have 4,000 images from a wedding, by the end of the next day, I have all of the basic edits done and I have it down to about 1,200. Mm. Like with doing nothing other than starting the computer application, inputting all my specifics and saying go.
And there are now editing programs that will do, like, I don't even know if I've told you about the new advancements in the one that we just got, but there's one that's being worked on by photographers. They've been working on it for a few years. They launched it 2 years ago, and now it's at a point where they just released a feature for stray hairs. And so if the wind picks up and a few hairs blow out, yeah, yeah, or somebody's just come out a little bit, that can be a real distraction, especially when you're shooting at a super high resolution. Right. And you can see it. Picture. It's crystal clear, yep, and it's distracting.
Yep.
And their software can detect it, remove it. They can remove strands of hair that run in front of someone's eyeball. It's amazing. Mm. And it's all AI and people. And it's not perfect. And you definitely do have to babysit it a mm-hmm. little bit.
Yeah.
But the more you babysit it, the more perfect it gets.
Yeah.
So there's, like, I think AI technology, I'm always about having, like, the fastest and the best gear. Mm-hmm. But AI is the software that I think, like, if you're not using AI right now, you will be left behind. Mm-hmm. It's just a question of when.
And in the end, honestly, it's just going to be a better turnaround for our clients, which is amazing. Yep. You know, and not only that, but I think, you know, some people will give a little bit of criticism in saying, like, well, is that really me if you're editing it too much and, like, suddenly it's not my eyes or it's not my, there's, like, the acne's all gone. Like, mm-hmm. is that realistic? And I will say, I mean, honestly, what we're trying to do is really portray you as you are. It's like Scott said, when there's a flying hair, if you're watching that live as a video or even in person, you're not going to notice that stray hair because you're looking at their face, you're looking at their movements, you're paying attention to what they're maybe saying, or lots of other things are going around. But when it's a still image, whether that's
right,
acne, like a big zit on your face, or whether it's a stray hair or something like that, well, suddenly your eye goes to the imperfection. And when you have a still picture, you don't want to be focusing on that imperfection, you know?
Right.
So if you can remove that or reduce it a little bit, so then they can suddenly notice your pretty eyes or lips or whatever that you would normally be looking at when you're talking to a person, right, then that's kind of, you know, what we want to do. So.
Right. It's more about reduction. It's not about replacement.
No, no, no. We don't want to.
If you have wrinkle, like forehead lines, things like that, like, you're not going to, like you said, you're not going to see them. And I'm talking to that person. I'm not focusing on that. I don't even notice that.
Yeah.
But if I'm staring at you on a 40-inch monitor.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm zoomed in on your forehead. I'm like, oh, he's got some lines on his face. You know what I mean? I just see it then. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to remove him. That's who he is. I'm not going to remove them. But if I can reduce them by like 20, 30% and make it more like if you were standing in front of the person, seeing the person, that's a value to that.
Or like newborns where they have, I mean, any kind of newborn, a lot of times they have acne within the first few weeks, or they have scratches on their face that they just got, or the amount of times we've done a walking session with a toddler and they just fell down the day before they have a giant welt on their forehead. It's like, we need to remove that because that's not who they are. You know what I mean? It's who they are, but you know, you don't want that to show up on your giant picture on your wall. So those types of things.
And the newest, I know the new alpha of the software for editing is about to allow you to designate that type of thing where you can say, like, well, just photographed Josh and his wife today. Josh cut himself shaving. So it'll say, this is Josh's face. And I can go, that's his shaving mark. Yeah. And then it knows your face. Yeah. So it'll just remove it. And all the images just instantly. And you would think, you know, like, well, I mean, those tools are still very expensive. They cost a lot of money. So they haven't completely evened out on that. But as far as having freeing up time to do more things for the business, they definitely have been worth the investment. Mm-hmm. It's the one I use for culling literally has a ticker. Mm-hmm. And it'll say, we've saved you 135 days, 8 hours, like whatever. And I'm like, what in the world? Mm-hmm. Why was that? What was I doing? Mm. It's crazy. It's crazy.
I was learning about AI the other day at that C12 group. I don't know if I've told you about that.
Yeah.
So the big topic that day was like AI, you know, and obviously you know about AI, and I'm like, yeah, I know it exists, but we've never like used it a ton, just like things here, there, like, and we've tried to like, okay, give me interview questions about this, and they would suck, and it would like, okay, we're not going to use it because that's garbage, or just, you know, little things, but it never like worked well. But I mean, as you know, they're advancing it like rapidly. So that's obviously helping. But there's all these other things that we were doing that we could have used AI for to save time on. And it's like, so all that being said is like, you know, what they're comparing AI to now is like when the internet came out. Is that it'll be that big of a wave. AI is going to be like, you know, when the internet was finally released, it's going to be that big. So, so now we're like, okay, well, how do we adopt this?
Right.
And be at the leading edge
somehow
of what people are using it for. And it's, I mean, it's super interesting because I don't think it ever replaces, you know, like what the, you know, people go like, well, they do photo and they do video and they do this and that. I'm like, what AI thing is going to go like, go to the company, interview all the people. You know, it's, can it help with editing and coloring and planning and efficiencies? Like, sure, you know. Or if you're creating an ad and you needed, you know, some stock filler shot, yeah, it could probably generate something. Yet, you know, they're getting there. But so I see it as an add-on, but not like, oh, we need to be worried about what it's going to do.
It all depends on the profession, you know?
It does.
Like if you were to, I mean, if you, if 15 years ago you told someone, most of the grocery stores, you're not ever going to have anybody check your stuff. And if they do, you're going to be kind of irritated. Because you're going to be like, I just want to go through the self-checkout, bring my stuff out, and get out of here. I don't want to wait for people. If you explain that to someone like 10 or 15 years ago, they would be like, whatever. That's not going to that's not going
to
happen.
And now it's to an actual person.
I mean, if you if you go to like, I don't know if you've been to like the Target Center recently at all. But the Target Center is, they redid a bunch of stuff there. And they have a, not a convenience store, but a concession stand that just has like drinks and like some small snacks. And all that it is like four little checkouts and one person standing there. And one person is watching you do it, and you do everything yourself. And you just zip right through, and you're out of the concession stand immediately and back to your seat. And it's those advancements in technology, they're going to happen. They're just going to. And for some careers, like I tend to think like there'll be some things with photography and some things with videography that AI will definitely learn to do. But I don't think it's ever going to replace, like, I go, you've worked with me. I've worked with you. I've done your wedding, right? I'm going to make dick jokes and make you laugh. I'm going to, like, we're going to have a good time. And that personal side is what gets you to smile. If there's just a robot standing there taking your picture, that's not going to work out. Now, when I'm done taking those photos, it's very conceivable that we could get to a stage where we're so comfortable with what it does that by the end of your wedding, you have all your images. I mean, that's conceivable.
There's a fine line, though, too, because I think social media and, you know, your responses over email or getting DMs and stuff can get a little too out of control with the AI. It's like you want a little bit of, like, you know, some signatures, email signatures and things like that, which are automated. But there are some major photographers that I've learned from before, and they just have these systems that are just like, you're not even talking to this person ever. I mean, it's just like you're getting email after email, and this generative thing that come with the the like, automatic
like
DM
funnels and
stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's just like we're not interested in heading that way either, where it's like you're not, it's not personalized at all, and you're not even talking to us. And it's so obvious when you get all of those anyway, and all you want to do is just unsubscribe. Get me out of this, you know.
But it's a good thing. And I do think that when you look at businesses, you can clearly see the ones that are like trying to find ways to incorporate it. And I think it's very, very important to do. Because again, it's just not going, it's not Skynet, guys. It's not Terminator. Like, they're not going to kill you. It's like, you, these are computers, we can control them, you know, and just the advancements they can do, like, this is just a tool. It's just an amazing tool that, like, you just have to wake up and see. And it's, it reminds me, actually, when we first, when we first started doing social media for our company, it was for the portrait side of things, roughly like, I don't know, 13, 14 years ago, we started being current with it and keep trying to keep up with it. We had some photographers in this area that literally said, meh, that's not going to take off, about social media. And I'm like, and I remember at the time going like,
I don't know what this is going to be. I don't know what this is going to be, but I know a lot of people are using it. So it feels weird to ignore it. Mm-hmm. Like there's got to be, we got to try something mm-hmm. here to stay relevant. Mm-hmm. But that guy's out of business. but I remember that. I think AI is no different.
Yeah.
I think it's just another tool and people are scared of it. And yeah. for our careers, I think we're fine. Mm. They integrated, I don't know if you saw, they integrated like ChatGPT-4 into Canva.
Mm-hmm.
So the integration into Canva, like I literally said, I sent you an ad that said, I want to work, you know, I love working with you guys. I love you guys.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know, here's my company. Here's their company. Here are some pictures of their company. Design me something that says I can work with them.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what was spit out.
Dang.
Hmm. And we made like 2-3 changes.
Yeah.
That's it. And then we sent it to you, and you made like 2-3 changes.
Yeah.
And that's
it. Wild.
And that's like, and that used to be something that you said, like, I'll have my designer
mm-hmm.
yep. work on that. Yep. And I still might even say that. I do.
Yeah.
Canva is my designer.
Yeah.
Like, but it's yeah. that type of thing. Canva. You know? Yeah. I had somebody worked for us as a assistant for a while, and she was like, well, I'd like to be a full-time graphic designer. And I was mm-hmm. like, well, good luck with that.
Yeah.
That's,
I would a copywriter now, that could be an issue.
That could be an issue.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's transition a little bit into kind of the future, you know, as technology is a good segue, but what do you think the future of your businesses look like? Where do they go? What are you guys trying to do?
Goodness, future. I don't know. I mean, the good thing is we've built up a team of people here mm-hmm. so that have worked under us for a long time, and we love all of them, and they've been amazing, and that gives us a lot of hope for and a lot of flexibility with our lives, with having kids and stuff. You know, Scott always jokes that he's never going to retire and he's mm-hmm. always going to be doing something. And I mean,
you feel the same.
Yeah. He'll always do something where on his computer or working behind the scenes.
I always say, I'll die in my chair in front of my computer. That's where I'll die.
You know, owning your own business is a lot of work. And so I feel like, you know, we get asked, like, well, are your kids take over? Are they interested in it? And our oldest is 15 right now, and she is doing some work for us. She does some, like, shipping out of the office mm-hmm. and just little things here and there. And she really likes it a lot. But at the same time, we've told her multiple times, we've said, like, we don't want you to feel pressure mm-hmm. to have to take this over because yep. it's a lot. And it's like, right. you know, we lost a lot of sleep. We lost, oh, yeah. I mean, it's just mm-hmm. a really taxing thing. And it's stressful because you can't ever leave it, you know? I mean, you're always thinking about your business and what you're doing right and what you're doing wrong. And unfortunately, you always focus more on the what you're doing wrong. And it stresses you out. And that's a hard life, you know? So anxiety. So that is something that we've told them over and over and over, but so we don't know, that might be an option someday mm-hmm. maybe one of them will take over and we can kind of guide them into that, which would be great, but they might not be cut out for it too, and it depends on who they end up, who knows what their life ends up being, you know, who they end up marrying, what
so
they're
young still,
exactly right. It's like, so exactly,
you don't know anything at that
age. right so I mean,
no,
we
don't think they do
right
not.
Oh yeah, no, but we've talked about doing some education or some mentoring as well. Yeah, and yeah. we might kind of get into that a little bit more over the next few years, helping others just kind of build up their business and stuff like that, you know, and share some secrets.
Yeah.
I
think we've scaled in such a way that we've never done this to try to make millions of dollars, never. We've priced ourselves such that the people that we work with are still people that we like. Mm-hmm. And I personally I have difficulty understanding someone's logic that would spend like $150,000 on a wedding. Mm-hmm. That blows my mind. Now, we've done some weddings where they've spent a lot of money and we've been like, wow, that was a lot that they spent. But most of the time we've tried to keep ourselves priced to where we make a good living, we do fine, but we work with people that we like, that we care about, mm-hmm. that we can relate to. And that helps us do our job because, like, we want to be able to joke with people and have a good time, mm-hmm. you know, and we've scaled the business in such a way relative to that, that we have an amazing team that works for us and they feel similarly. And we work and we've done it so that we don't have to do as many weddings as we used to. We still do a lot of photography, but we can lower our obligations for the shooting side and have others pick up the slack there. And we can spend a little bit more time with our family. And even if we end up scaling back a little bit, I think that's okay too. Mm-hmm. I think we're the future of our business. I'm not looking to build 20 more offices like MediaCorp. But if I had the success at your age that you've had, I probably would. Mm. I probably would. I think that's probably where I would be because I, at your age, I had that thirst and passion to grow and grow and grow. And
Before kids, you have a lot more kids, time and a lot more energy. And,
you know?
Yeah.
But I could see us, there are some things like we really do enjoy real estate photography. It's mm-hmm. fun. And it's not super difficult or stressful. And we have great clients in our area that mm-hmm. we work with all the time. And so I could see us scaling to a point where we're doing that mm-hmm. more and scaling back the portraits, kind of let our staff dictate. But I'm always about, but then again, you know, I say that and then I think about like, well, in the last 2 years, we've acquired two companies. Mm-hmm. we expanded to Des Moines like 4 years ago and then we hired a fourth team just recently. So maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. You know how it goes. If you're running the business, you kind of like go based on like how the market takes you and the supply and demand and all that. And you change your viewpoints on the trajectory of your company where you'd like it to go based on those things. I think we'd love ultimately though to keep it the smaller company that it is, keep the close knit.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was interesting what you said about like not wanting these people that are spending all this money, like keeping the people that we love and that we know, because, you know, you go to these photography conferences, right? And they're all bigger photographers and they're all telling you, like, don't you want this? Like, don't you want these high-end weddings? And don't you want this really quick, easy way to make $4,000 by doing these five poses, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, I go to those and now I think we've gotten to the point in our business where I think in the past, earlier on, I would be like, yes, 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 oh, yes, like, fast way out, you know, like, let's try to do that, and let's try to do this and this and this, and very much the same as everybody else. And I think we've gotten to the point where we have our niche, and we, like, know what we do, and we're confident with what we're doing, that I'm like, no, I don't want to do the five same poses for that session. Yeah. I want to be able to get to know the client, and I want to do what's best for them and what makes them look good. And, no, I want a wedding where I can, like, have fun at and, like, know half the people there and you know, and we really like them as people, and they're not all, they're more about the marriage than they are about the actual like wedding day, you know, and about the
I'm glad you said that I was gonna say that too. We say that to so many couples. Gosh, we might have said it to you when we were mm-hmm. when we were meeting with you, and I think that's such a thing that can get away from people when they're doing a wedding. They get so focused on that wedding mm-hmm. and they lose sight of like what's actually happening that day. Mm-hmm. And you're like, but that's where you should be. You should be there. You should be thinking about like, I'm getting married. Like this is my, mm-hmm. it's my husband. Mm-hmm. It's my wife from this day forward, you know?
I mean, I think you guys do like, it's like more than, to me, it was like way more than the photography. It was like, I mean, you like run the day, you know?
Right. Which is like, yes.
You know, I didn't want, I mean, we'd shot video of weddings prior and seen other, you know, people do it and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But we've also seen you guys do it, and it's like a different experience. And like to me, it was so easy to go like we want Scott and Jen for sure on our wedding day because mm-hmm. one, we like them, we know it's gonna be fun. Mm-hmm. But I think the experience and the knowledge that you guys have is just like it makes the day so much easier. Like mm-hmm. it's so less complicated. You're looking out for us.
Oh, yeah.
You could, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, this person's being a pain in the ass.
Oh, 100%.
Like, we're going to deal with them. Yeah. You don't worry about it.
Jake. Yeah. He is a pain.
It's always Jake.
But it's like, it's super so nice to go like, you guys got our back. You're going to handle it.
Yeah.
We didn't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
You know, and the day just goes by smoothly. People don't think about that.
No, and not to toot our own horn, but I feel like that is part of our having our experience. The experience that we've had doing so many weddings. And there's a lot of photographers in Rochester even that will be like, oh, nope, I've done a few weddings. I'm not doing it anymore. And I think it's because the day can be so chaotic. Yeah. And it's like they don't know where to be. They don't know what to do. And they're not running the day. I mean, obviously, if there's a planner, they're mostly running the day. And we're kind of the – but if there's no planner, we kind of like joke a lot of times and say – we're kind of the planners because a lot of it is built around the photography.
Absolutely.
And so, and we have the day structured perfectly to make, you know, it work well for you with the ceremony, but then also work well for us with the photography as well. So we are kind of navigating it. You're right. But we have no problem being the bad guys because, you know, for instance, for the first look, I can't tell you how many times the mother of the bride,
Or the mother of the girl.
Yeah, sometimes
never
the
mother. Know.
Or the best friend. No, and they, I know. I listen, as parents, obviously, we get it. I want to be part of every part of the day. But they're like, oh, can we go see the first look? Oh, can we? Oh. And we say, probably not. But I will go check with the bride, you know. And we usually talk to the bride and we say, I'm assuming you just want, because most of the time they want to have it just be the two of them. So we just, I'm assuming you want it to be the two of you, and we'll tell everybody not to come. And they're like, oh, we don't want anybody else there. So we instantly just take care of that and say, like, nope, nobody else can come. Sorry, just them, you know, and just controlling those situations and making sure it's about the bride and the groom. Because honestly, pictures aren't always fun. I mean, especially formals. Like, we always call it kind of the necessary evil because...
That's our new slogan, by the way. Pictures aren't always
pictures
fun.
Pictures aren't always fun. But they're not.
Thanks,
but,
honey. You wrote that one.
But how many people appreciate... But they all appreciate it and they all love it after the fact. They really do.
Right.
Especially the formal pictures. Everybody's like... okay, you know, like we need to make sure everybody's here and coming up and like calling names and all this sort of stuff. But how often do you have this many people in your family together that are dressed well and ready and you need those pictures? So if we can make that process as fast and easy as possible and as the least painful possible, then, I mean, we're going to try to do that.
I think honestly, man, that means everything to us. I know I can speak for Jen.
Yeah.
That means everything to us to hear you describe the way we were on your wedding.
Yeah.
That means so much to us. That, like, literally, like, if we were Sims characters and we had, like, a happiness meter, like, we would have shot right up on that, man. That is just, like, honestly, I'm definitely the most emotional in our company. And that one, like, literally, man, that hits me in the field. When somebody says something like that, I'm like, oh, we did our job.
That's our ultimate goal.
Like, that's, God, 100%. That feels great.
We want to make it easy for you and make it fun and, not have you guys worry. So,
yeah.
Good.
Awesome. Well, I know we're I could keep going for a long time
because I
haven't even barely touched some of my
notes. I got a room but, in the hotel in walking distance. So what? No, I didn't, but I knew I could. I told you I told you heading into this, you and I can't clear our throat in an hour and a half.
I do want to ask you both too, because this is something that we like to ask everybody is at the end too, is it's a big podcast on people that are in business, have been doing business, entrepreneurial. So I always like to ask, like, what are, you know, one or two couple of key things that each of you have learned along this journey that have really helped you succeed?
Oh, wow. That's good.
I will say one thing. Well, let's see.
I can go.
I'll say one thing, and I'll say that, and then I guess, you kind of touched on this earlier, how when you were talking about when the internet was crazy about like entrepreneurship and like finding your dream and pursuing your passion and all this sort of stuff, I think we have to be careful with that, you know, in this world, because I think a lot of people will hold out on many other jobs and not try hard enough, long enough, because they think they can find success in all of these, in whatever their passion is, okay? And first of all, what you're doing in your life as a job doesn't necessarily have to be your passion, first of all. I mean, you can find passion in many other aspects of your life that don't have to be the thing that pays you. Mm-hmm. But second of all, you can find a lot of passion in the job that you're working, even if it wasn't your passion, mm-hmm. so to speak, you know? Yeah. And I think that's true with so many jobs because it goes beyond the actual work. And I think you just have to realize too, and I think we realize this, is that like not all aspects of this job are fun, you know, are great. Right. And that's how every job is. There's always going to be a part of it that's tedious, that you don't like to do, you know, that doesn't feel like your passion. And I think once you start to accept that, then you can do anything, really. And once you start to accept that you can find a positive part of that job or something that can bring you life beyond the work part of it, then that will bring you the joy and the, you know, the passion that you're looking for, really. Mm. So
I have two things.
Yeah.
Okay. One, you probably know what I'm doing, honey, as soon as you see me doing this. So in my wallet, I carry this little folded up receipt, and inside this folded up receipt are two little Mickey things. In 2013, we took our first trip to Disney World, right? I had no idea what to expect with that, but I was hungry for business at that time. Mm. I mean, I was like, just we're gonna rule the world, right? Mm. So these two things, so we were walking down Main Street, USA, the Magic Kingdom, right? It started to rain a little bit. So some guests started to leave. Just as it's raining, so people are leaving. But it was about to clear up, and we kind of knew that it was going to clear up. And I'd heard that they would do this like parade every now and then around the rain, so it would keep all the guests there.
Oh, yeah.
It's a brilliant business decision, right? Mm-hmm. So we watched the parade. And we stood there with our daughter, and we watched it, and we were like, oh, this is great. It's a little parade. And at the end, they shot off the cannons, and these little Mickey things that I still carry 11 years later shot out. Mm. And I looked at these, and I was like, first thing I said was like, wow, that's a mess. Mm. What a mess that is. But then I saw what it was, and I was like, oh, those are little Mickeys. And then I watched all the kids literally clean up the whole thing. And I saw, and I kind of stepped back from it as a business-minded person. And I thought, like, this is brilliant. Look at all the facets of the business that are working right now to create this one thing. And to the layperson, to the person that just doesn't understand business, or they're just there to have a good time, they're not as twisted as I am looking at everything analytically. They're like, what a fun parade. But I look at it and I'm like, okay, the people were about to leave. Spontaneous parade. Mm-hmm. They shot out this confetti and they made a huge mess, but they don't even have to clean it up because all the kids are running around picking up all these things. And I keep this because it teaches me that, like, first of all, that brought amazing joy to everyone. So to mix joy with efficiency in your business is so very important. And that's why, like, as a business, we always try to find the parts of our job that bring different people joy and keep them in them and strengthen those pieces. And the last thing I would say to that is, when you are an entrepreneur and you start your own business, it can feel so lonely, so lonely. And all you're left with is, like, it's me and my computer researching stuff at 1 o'clock in the morning. And I found a couple people in Delaware that understand my struggles, right? And it's so lonely. But when you start to find people that have similar joy in that part of your business, in the part where you're bringing people joy, and they truly enjoy seeing that smile on the customer's face and carrying out your mission together, then you're going to do well. Find those people. It's all about the people. You know that as well. It's all about the people in your business. It has much less to do with your mission statement and all that as it does who is out there for your company, who is working, who cares about what you're doing out there in the field. And so trying to find those people. Mm. And when you bring them in, it doesn't feel lonely anymore. And it feels like a team. And that changes everything when it feels that way.
That's awesome. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure you agree.
Yeah, no, 100%.
You started the same way in one person and then boom, you add people. And, you know, it's not Dakota, but it's,
I had to put something in there for him, of course.
But I mean, no, I always make fun of your team because, but it's all out of love, man. It's all out of love. I've worked with so many people on your team and they're all just wonderful human beings. They're all very talented and they all have a passion for the business.
Yeah.
And it's why a company can do well for years and years is having good people.
Yep.
That's what it comes down to.
I love it. Well, thank you both again. This is awesome for me. And
yeah, we're doing it every Friday, right?
That's right.
It's just us.
Yep, we're going to start another podcast. We're going to be doing this. We're going to be live.
It'll be like the college dropout.
Dropouts.
I guess I won't cover that then.
Entrepreneurial dropouts. Yeah. I
like that. No, but thank you again.
Thank you for inviting us.
And as always, thank you so much for tuning in this week. We appreciate you listening so much. We're trying to continue growing this, and we're trying to get out more and more consistently again. We appreciate it. Share it out if you enjoyed it, and we'll see you on the next one.